Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a joy to be here with you, and I'm really privileged by the invitation and to be here to worship with you and to be part of your fellowship this morning. So as Pastor said, my name is Erin Mankey-Assam, and I serve as part of Reach a Village. And I need to be sure that I share greetings from Bob Kraft. He's our founder and president. I know he has spoken here before. Since then, he has relocated to Alabama. So he isn't as available as he had been in the past. But I can see the Lord's hand even appointing me to speak here today. So I truly hope that you all would be blessed and encouraged not only to learn about Reach a Village, but also the importance of God's word. And I'm going to share with you a bit of my own journey with the Lord. And so I pray that each of you would be blessed and encouraged to see how God is working around the world and how we get to play a part of it. It's awesome. And one thing I truly believe is by God bringing his people together, wonderful things happen for the kingdom. I truly believe that. So I'm the director of partner development. What that pretty much means that anything you see that's got our logo on it, I've had my hands on. You go to our website, all the materials out there, our Facebook page. So I work in the area of communications and fundraising. And it's a joy because certainly biblical stewardship is something that's so important to understand. So that's just briefly about me, but we'll learn more about me as we get further along. So the mission of Reach a Village is we are called by God to train and equip local believers, enabling them to reach the unreached and bring them into fellowship with Jesus Christ and his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, of course, with a mission statement, it's important to lay out what we do and why we do it. So Bob Kraft, who's spoken here before that I mentioned, he was a missionary on the field. He served in Thailand and the Philippines, and so his expertise has really been in Southeast Asia. But really what I love about Reach a Village is we do everything. We do the evangelism. We're doing the discipleship. We're starting new churches, and we're providing God's word to bring people into a lifelong relationship with Jesus and his church. Because these people that are in remote villages, we don't want them to fall back. It's easy to fall back to pressure of your family or your own cultural background, your own religion, but we want people to be rooted in their new faith. And a Bible is essential for that, as is a church fellowship. So as Bob was living in this area, Bob had lived in Crete for a number of years, and we are still headquartered down in Park Forest. As Bob was reading, this passage from Mark really stuck out to him, and it ended up being our foundational verse as a ministry. So in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus said, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Boy, Jesus really, he laid it all out there, didn't he? I know we often think of, you know, the Gospels as Jesus' incredible teaching and application to our lives. It's the cornerstone of our faith. But we could also look at the Gospels as a guide to starting churches. And we look at the way that Jesus lived with his disciples, going from village to village to village, training his disciples who would then carry it on after he ascended to heaven, and starting the Christian faith. It really is amazing to think how we do ministry today. Jesus already laid it out for us. And I tell you, as I've known Bob over these several years, I mean, he has taught me so much, and I'm so grateful for that wisdom of how we can still keep that spirit of Jesus alive and continue to reach people that have not heard the gospel yet. So as we talk about villages, It's important for us to remember that there are still over 1 million villages around the world with no church or even Christian presence. So we're thinking about communities that are maybe Muslim or Buddhist or animist or Hindu. There's not a single church or even a Christian. And so what we're trying to do is we're working with those local Christians that don't live in those communities. So let's say in Cambodia, for example, there are Cambodian believers who have that call and that drive to reach their own men and women with the gospel. So we come alongside them. We provide them training on how to share the gospel, how to start Bible studies, how to introduce people to Jesus and his word. We provide them with evangelism and discipleship materials so that they can get to know who this Jesus is and what he's all about. And we do that with their culture in mind. So we don't just take like an English tract and just translate it, but we want the people to understand. So like in a Buddhist setting, for example, many Buddhists already serve multiple gods. We don't want them just to add Jesus to the list. We want them to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I've heard so many wonderful testimonies of people taking those idols, those physical idols that they've had, tossing them out, throwing them in the river, getting rid of them, knowing that Jesus is the one and true God. So that's why it's important to have those culturally relevant materials that people can really understand who Jesus is. We help resource them, like I said, to provide, to start Bible studies with the discipleship material, lead people to Christ, and establish churches. And our goal is when a person does accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would have their own personal Bible in their heart language so they can easily understand and keep learning and growing in their new faith. Because we know God's word is such a cornerstone of our faith. And then as those discipleship groups, there's new believers, it's often the foundation of a brand new church. So now you have people with Bibles and you have people regularly meeting together for fellowship, for teaching, for worship, for the sacraments. And so that's how lives and families and communities are being transformed. And that's one thing I just love about the ministry is we're coming alongside those people that already have that burden. They love the Lord, but, you know, they can't afford to buy Bibles themselves. They can't afford the mobilization even to get to these rural, remote areas. But we come alongside them and help them to do what God has called them to do. So at this time, we serve in over 20 countries, including Eastern Europe, China, and Southeast Asia. And you can see I've got a couple pictures there. Those are from Cambodia, some churches, church and a new believer there. So how it works, so it's really kind of a cycle revolving around training in scriptures. So you can see that's right in the core of this little diagram here, that the training in scriptures are an important part of what we do. But starting with the local leaders, like I've just mentioned, so we have the local leaders that are being mobilized, going to these villages. And when they go into a village, they look for a person of peace. That is talked about in Luke chapter 10, that you go to look for a person of peace that kind of opens the door for the community to receive Christ. So then they evangelize. They'll often go, you know, house to house, get to know people. Can we pray for you? And get to know those people that are hospitable and open. So they evangelize, and then they'll start gathering people together for study of God's word. And then as people come to faith, they become part of a church. New churches are planted. And then as those people continue to grow in their faith, they become local leaders. And the process continues moving outward. So more people are reached, more communities are reached. And that's why one reason I was glad what our brother shared from Acts. When we think about Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So again, it's very organic. So kind of start small, but then keep growing outwards. And that's what our partners are doing as they get to those villages. So they get to one, but then it keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And when you find the good news, you want to share it. You know, and even this week, I got a testimony that I received of a 78-year-old woman come to faith in Jesus for the first time. And you don't know how many times I've heard from people from the field that say, why didn't you come sooner? You had this great news. Why didn't we hear about it sooner? And it breaks my heart because we forget how good this news really is. It changes our lives. I know sometimes we think about, you know, people can't afford these Bibles. We'll talk about that too. That the level of poverty in many of these areas is high, where you would have to spend maybe your entire month's salary or even 2 months. And that's one reason why Bibles for New Believers is so important. But that people can have it in their own language, and they can continue just to grow in their faith through that. So Reach a Village, we were founded 10 years ago, and these are our cumulative ministry results that I just thought I would share with the group. So over the last 10 years, we have seen 1.4 million new believers. Praise God. So these are people that are going through Bible study. These are people that are accepting Jesus and wanting to make a new life as followers. So that's amazing. So I did the math. So that means we need almost $1 million every year just for the Bibles for new believers. That's a lot. But just to illustrate that, that's a lot of people coming to faith in Jesus. And they all want Bibles. I know if you think back to when you first gave your life to the Lord, just that excitement that you felt, wanting to dive into the Word and just learn more. That's what these men and women are feeling, that excitement of having God's Word in your language. These are our 2020 results, and I think you can see the map there really, really well. So those are the areas where we're working. And I'll share a couple examples with you today. It's so hard to see. I'm going to be sharing a testimony from Armenia. Is there a pointer on here? If you can see kind of where I'm pointing, I'm going to share a testimony from Armenia, which is right here. And then I'll also be sharing a little story from Thailand today. Yeah, so these are the regions of the world that we are currently working in. And again, the Lord has been so good that just in 2022, even despite COVID and the restrictions of the pandemic, it was over 91,000 people this year that gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And as I prepared for today, the Lord laid this verse on my heart that I just want to share with you all, Romans 10, 14 to 15. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they haven't heard? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The good news is so good. I know it's easy to forget in today's world that God is working and He is moving. And there are people that this very day are going to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's something to really be excited about. That the Lord, He is on the move, and we are witnesses to that as part of this ministry. And I know I've mentioned Bob a couple times. I've said to him, I'm never leaving you, Bob. I love what I do too much, because I know what I do every day is making a real impact. Hundreds of people, on average, every day coming to know the Lord. So today is that day for someone, a whole lot of some people's. But the Lord is just, He's so good. And so as we've been talking about today, so Reach a Village, because we have seen such a great need for Bibles, we started this special initiative called Bibles for New Believers. So as I've been talking about, the Bibles are all going to people who are believers, and that have already gone through that discipleship process. They are in communities of faith. They have been part of Bible study groups. But we need more Bibles. And so these Bibles, they're not just handed out. They're placed very specifically with people who have already made that commitment to Jesus. This is a wonderful testimony that we received last year from Armenia, which I pointed out. It's a small little country. They've actually have been in war. In 2020, they had about a six-week war with a neighboring country of Azerbaijan. And you don't hear about it too often in the news, but it has been an area of violence, of conflict. But we received this wonderful testimony from this young man named Hovik, and I'll share with you today. When Hovik was 21 years old, he left the safety of his home and joined the Armenian army. He knew about Jesus, but rejected the truth of God's word. He says, "My mother and siblings studied the Bible and prayed with other believers in our village. I did my best to stop what they were doing because I rejected everything about God." When the war began between Azerbaijan and Armenia, or Artsakh, that's a specific territory, when it began in late 2020, he and his unit went to defend their homeland. And soon they were vulnerable, fighting on the front line in an open field. "One day I saw a drone fly up," he says. "Then we were bombed. Fire was falling from the sky. Fire was all around me. I could not see anything. My legs trembled. I knelt on the ground and cried out to God." The other soldiers gathered around him and they huddled together in fear. None of them was killed. Later, they learned that they had been under fire for about 3 hours. One of the men told me they had seen a circle around me, and that's why they came to me during the attack. God saved us. That day, Hovik repented of his sins and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. When he returned home after the war, he apologized to his family and shared the miracle of his salvation with them. Praise God. So you can see, let me go to the next slide. In the next slide, you can see him volunteering with a children's group. So in this country as well, we have children's ministry. So you see them with their children's scriptures. Hovik is in the back, still, he's in the white shirt. And I had gotten word that Hovik, you know, he's a young man, that he's getting married. And I just think God is changing the course of his life and that of his family, his wife, and the children that will come. Real people. I know it's easy to look at the numbers. Real people. As real as you and me, whose lives are being changed. So Bob, our founder, he shared this great quote. And after this, we're going to try to watch a video. We'll see if it works for us. But Bob, our founder, he said, "The response to the gospel these last 2 years alone has been phenomenal. 500,000 new believers. That's a lot of Bibles. And these new believers are not going to be able to afford a Bible. And even if they could afford one, they may not be able to find one. That's where we come in. We print and make sure that these new believers have a Bible that they can read and grow in Christ." I know I've already talked about the book of Acts 1, but let's think about Acts chapter 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian, if any of you recall that story, that the Ethiopian, he must have been wealthy. He had a scroll of the book of Isaiah, which is, you know, known for its prophetic texts. Can be pretty confusing to us even that know the Lord at times, if we're being honest. So but the Ethiopian's reading it, and he said, I don't understand what I'm reading. And then Philip came to him. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "No, I don't." So Philip, obviously a believer, a disciple of Jesus, sat with him and helped him understand. So that's kind of the model that we're going for, is that people who know the Lord, helping people understand, helping people that are seeking to know him. Okay, I'm going to see if my video will work for me. It's a blessing to work alongside Bob, and that is his son, Ellis. And just to see how God has called this family to reach the world for Christ. If I had longer to present, I mean, there's so much more I could tell you of God's faithfulness, even to Bob and Ellis. And I'll share a little bit of my story with you in a moment of how my life has kind of been woven into the story of Reach a Village as well. But
I have to share with you first how you can help. Pray for us. Pray for this ministry. Take one of these little Bible boxes home. See, we've got a nice little slot. You could put coins in it. I do it with my daughter, or you can set a goal. And then once the church is done, you can bring it in and then make a donation. But please do give. And I should just mention as well, if the Lord is touching you to give regularly, please do. At least go to reachavillage.org, sign up, and give Bibles every month, because we need a lot. But praise God, there's a reason we need them. So please take one as you're leaving today. And seven Bibles, or $7, is just, wow, just to think of the impact you can make on someone for such a small amount. Okay, I've been promising. I'm going to tell you about my own story, and I promised Pastor as well. So one of the reasons I'm excited to be here is because I'm an Olivet alum. So my mom has come with us today, my mom Colleen and my daughter Christiana. And I want to share just a little bit of my own testimony with you all, too. I would say that I grew up in a village. I won't make you all raise hands, but has anybody here heard of a town called Grant Park? Oh, okay, you will raise your hands. Okay, good. I see maybe half. Half? So Grant Park is, I would say, maybe 45 minutes south of here. Take 294 south, 394 south, get on Route 1, keep taking that south. We are not really known for much except for our grain elevators. That's about it. We don't have a stop sign. We don't have a stop light. Excuse me. We've got stop signs. We've got a handful of stop signs, but not a stop light. And I'm almost 40. We've never had a stop light. But so we grew up, and Mom and Dad would bring my brother and I to church every week, a small little country church. And when I was in high school, I was seriously studying music. I was studying voice, and my mom and dad were so supportive, and they said, you know, Aaron, why don't you study with a professor at Olivet? I said, well, let's do that. And so throughout high school, I took private voice lessons with a professor at Olivet. And I thought, I want to study voice professionally, so I'm going to go to Olivet. And, you know, and at that time, I thought I was good with the Lord. You know, going to church, I went to Christian school for a few years. I felt like I was okay, and like, oh, okay, I'll go to Olivet, and I'll learn more. But I really just wanted to keep studying with my professor. But that first year is when God really grabbed a hold of my life and challenged me in a way that I never understood before. That, Aaron, are you really going to submit your life to me? Are you really going to follow me? Are you really going to seek me in your life? I'm like, I just came here for voice lessons. But I decided, yes, I am going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to put aside what I think I have planned for my life, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to put you number first, you number one in my life. And my life's never been the same. So that's the moment where I really feel like I became born again, was at age 19 at Olivet. And I remember thinking when I first came there, why are these people so happy? These people are so weird. What are they so happy about? Of course I know now. They had the joy of the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for how he put things in my life to bring me there. So even before I came to know the Lord, or I accepted him in my heart, I had a love for the people of the world. I always had an interest in other languages and other cultures, even as a young teenager. Mom could probably even verify. And as I was at Olivet, I was feeling the Lord's leading to do more missions. So I went on my first mission trip. You can see my graduation picture. My head is peeking out in the back. I'm assuming there's some other Olivet alumni here. This is Williams Hall.
any freshman girls. I went to Williams Hall. But I, so I did my first mission trip. And the other picture is Palermo, Italy. So I did, I forget the name of it, with Olivet, I did 2 weeks in Italy. Then I did Youth with a Mission. And that's another Nazarene program, to Vancouver, Canada. And then I graduated early, and I went back to Palermo, Sicily, for a few months. And I was really, really seeking the Lord. Are you calling me to be a full-time missionary overseas? But I really didn't feel him doing that, because I'm like, I'm ready to go. I don't want to stay in my little village. I'm ready to go. But I didn't feel the Lord doing that. So, of course, I needed to get a job after I finished Olivet. Got to pay off those loans. Got to get a job. And I'm just seeking, Lord, where do you want me to be? And when I was still living in my little town in Grant Park. And I remember just looking for a job, just going through the one ads. And like a few times in my life, I felt it was almost like a lightning bolt. Or just like a wow. I read a job listing and I knew that that was what God had for me. And I was convicted. It was for International Christian Ministry. The next morning I called up, talked to the HR department, and just said, I feel so convicted that this is for me, this is for me. And they had me come in the next day, and they offered me the job. Actually, I wasn't anticipating that I would be staying in my little town. But I could see the Lord. He was putting things in motion that I didn't know at that time. So I was, let's say, 23. So I had first served at Bible League International. Some of you may know Bible League in Crete. They did take a chance on me. I was so young and so green, but I'm like, the Lord must have touched their heart too. But I thank the Lord because I started those first few years in fundraising and development, and I got to know so many wonderful donors, just incredible hearts. And at that time, I started working on a master's degree at DePaul University in international public service because I knew I had such a heart to want to help people. And I felt overwhelmed. God, there's so many needs. What do I do? But the verse that just kind of resounded in me was, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. That the power of God changing you from the inside out. It's like, oh. So the Lord opened the door for me to serve at the ministry. And as I was finishing up my studies at DePaul, I needed an international internship. And so they said, okay, Aaron, you've got a background in research. I changed my major from music to sociology, so I graduated with a degree in sociology. They said, Aaron, we've got a research project, so you can go finish your degree with the special project that we have going on in Kenya, in Uganda. I'm like, okay, well, great, I'll do it. So back in 2010, I took my very first trip to Africa, and I was working on a special survey to evaluate church planting programs and Bible study programs. And that eventually led to a full-time position. So now I'm traveling a lot. I'm going to Africa, I went to Colombia, went to other parts of Africa. And I was like, wow, I'm just a girl from a small town. There's nothing special about our family. No offense, Ma. We're not a great line of pastors or preachers. We're a farming family. Nothing special about us. Oh, but does the Lord have other plans? So I did that for a few years. I also, 2010 to 2014, I was doing a lot of traveling, mostly to Africa, but also Russia, Colombia, Philippines, Malaysia, doing a lot of travel. I became a facilitator in a program called Lead Like Jesus. It's a wonderful Christian leadership program. So I was doing lots of trainings overseas. And then I got involved in helping to start a Bible-based literacy program. So the Lord was just doing so many things and giving me just incredible opportunities. And, you know, I'm just blown away. And then eventually I knew my time at Bible League was coming to an end. I'm like, God, I still have such a passion for ministry. I want to see the world one for you.
Then I got an email from Bob Kraft. I'd never met Bob. I knew him by name. And he said, I want to meet with you. And I am the first person that worked with him full time, his first full time hire. And it's been about 8 years. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I wish I could do probably a sermon series, honestly, just about God's hand of faithfulness in my life over these years. I won't ask you for that, but I'm just as an example. God has done so many things. So in 2015 with Reach a Village, I went to the Philippines. In the Philippines, it's an incredible ministry that we're doing there. So we train, again, local Filipinos to go into schools and teach about the Bible and Christian values. I mean, that's an incredible opportunity. At this, that ministry was started about 15 years ago in the Philippines, and there's been over 500,000 children and youth that have given their lives to Jesus. So incredible opportunities for the gospel in the Philippines. And then last year, I had the opportunity to go with Reach a Village to Thailand. And Thailand historically has been a very difficult mission field. Missionaries have been working in Thailand for about almost 200 years, and it's very, very slow going. Like, we're talking years and years and years just to start one church. So it's very, very difficult ministry. But there is a family of believers. They're right in the heart, kind of the heartland, if you will, of Thailand, kind of a farming area. And this family, God really started blessing their ministry. They started going from village to village, like I've described earlier. And now it has been an incredible movement. So this started about 5-6 months ago. So, but to visit Thailand, you can see the picture at the bottom. I witnessed a baptism of 585 people one day. Throughout that summer, they had two other big baptism events, and I want to say it was over 2,000 people during that summer. And I mean, this is a nation where there were so few people coming to Christ just 10 years ago. But now, in the middle of the country, people are finding Jesus for the first time ever. And so since I work in communications, you know, I get so many great testimonies from the field. And so you can see this selfie of me and this lovely woman. Her name is Galong. So I knew who she was because I had gotten a report with her photo and her testimony. And when I saw her, I was like a fangirl, just like, oh my goodness, that's her. So I was like, I got to take a picture. Of course, she doesn't know who I am, and that's okay. But I know who she is. So Galong is only educated through the first grade, so obviously not had much of a formal education. But over the years now, she has led over 1,000 people to Christ and helped us start over 50 house churches. She supports herself by selling noodles on the side of the road. This is what she does in her free time, winning people for Christ. 1,000 people, and this is probably out of date. I would say probably 1,500 at this point, the rate that she's going. It's incredible. So I had to get my picture with her because to me, she's an all-star. She's an all-star. So, okay, so I've shared now a little bit of my testimony. I hope you've enjoyed it. But I need to tell you something else that's really important. Back when I was at Olivet, just figuring out my life, where I was going, what I was doing, a group of alumni were asked to donate money to buy Bibles for the students. And I was a recipient of one of those Bibles. It's been almost 20 years ago, but I was gifted a Bible by people that didn't know me, that just donated some money. And I'll tell you, this Bible has been with me ever since. So this is the impact of a Bible in one person's life. When I think of what God has done in my life since then, and this Bible has been at the heart of it. I'll never get a chance to thank those people. They'll never know who I am, but I know I'll see them one day.
up above. I'm grateful that I was blessed with this Bible. And the story doesn't end with me. I'm a mama. The way I raise my daughter is different because of this book. Her life will be different because her mom believes in and loves this book. So this is a very real example of how the Bible changes a person and a family. And that's what the power we have through Bibles for New Believers to impact others. So I'm sharing a very personal example. That's me and my Christiana, of how our lives are being impacted by the Word. And I have to share this. Christiana trusts in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She's told me that. But also, the other picture of the families that are impacted through the Bible. Grandparents, adult children, little children, grandchildren. Families are being changed. Communities are being changed. I want to close with just a couple of verses that I just love. And I know it's hard in our busyness that we often forget our own Bible or our own time, but make sure that you all are in your Word. Just like the Lord wants us to be, that we know it, that we are people of the Word. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is the word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Then Isaiah 4, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever." Yeah, it is thousands of years old, but it really is alive and active, penetrating our hearts and teaching us. So friends, I know it looks so simple, the little Bible box, but I do hope you would take one. Pray for the people that will be receiving the Bibles. Pray for their families. Only the Lord knows the impact that it will have in their lives. Because I think in some of these nations, there's a Paul that's being called. There's a Billy Graham being called. But they all need a Bible to help them on their journey with the Lord. So again, I want to thank you all. You know, some of you may have even donated to that fundraiser Olivet did. All I can do is say thank you. And thank you on behalf of the people that will receive God's word. So God bless you all. Thank you for your warm welcome today. It's been a blessing to be here with you. So may the Lord bless you and your church and your family. Thank you so much.